A jury clears Cirrus in the Lytle case. The Ted Stevens accident may have been medical incapacitation. And Delta and U.S. Airways try again on a slot swap. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, May 26, 2011. The widow of the late New York Yankees pitcher Corey Lytle has been denied a $50 million payday at the expense of Cirrus Aircraft shareholders. Lytle and his flight instructor, Tyler Stanger, were flying New York's Hudson River Corridor in Lytle's new SR-20 in 2006 when a wide turn ended with impact into an apartment building, killing both men. According to reports at the time, Lytle was covered by $450,000 in life insurance through Major League Baseball, but no benefit was paid because the policy covers aviation accidents only if the insured is a passenger. A similar personal life insurance policy also denied payment, apparently for a similar reason. The suit against Cirrus claimed the crash was no accident, but rather was caused by negligence on the part of Cirrus in designing a control system which jammed, preventing a successful turn. That presumption was unsupported by NTSB's finding of pilot error and appeared to have been based on a bent joystick found in the wreckage. It's not clear whether this ends the matter for Cirrus, but the company issued a statement which says, in part, quote, "Our hearts are with the Lytle and Stanger families who are still grieving. We're gratified that the jury reached a decision that confirmed what the National Transportation Safety Board found and what we have always believed. The SR-20 did not cause this accident. We very much appreciate the hard work of the jury and the court in this matter." Unquote. The NTSB has issued a final report on the cause of the crash of a turbine otter floatplane in Alaska last August that killed former Alaska Senator Ted Stevens and four others in mountainous terrain. The board blamed not the weather, but, quote, "the pilot's temporary unresponsiveness for reasons that could not be established from the available information, contributing to the investigation's inability to determine exactly what occurred in the final minutes of the flight, was the lack of a cockpit recorder system with the ability to capture audio, images, and parametric data," unquote. Board Chairman Deborah Hersman added, quote, "One of the greatest lessons from this tragedy is the powerful reinforcement of the need for onboard crash-resistant recorder systems. With onboard recorders, we can learn so much more from crashes like this one to prevent future tragedies and loss of life," unquote. The pilot's medical history included an intracerebral hemorrhage on March 3, 2006. His most recent first-class medical certificate had been issued on December 1, 2009. Hersman continued, quote, "This tragedy also highlights inadequate FAA guidance related to the medical certification of pilots who have had a cerebrovascular event," unquote. Delta and U.S. Airways will try again to swap slots between New York LaGuardia and Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C. The airlines filed an application for the changes with the FAA on Monday. After a similar deal started 2 years ago was rewritten by the U.S. Department of Transportation on the premise of preserving better marketplace competition, the resulting terms proved unacceptable to both airlines, and the proposal died. The new revised proposal would see Delta acquire 132 slot pairs at LaGuardia from U.S. Airways, and U.S. Airways would acquire from Delta 42 slot pairs at Reagan National and the rights to operate additional daily service to Sao Paulo, Brazil in 2015. Delta would also pay U.S. Airways $66.5 million in cash. In anticipation of DOT concerns, the agreement would also allow for divestiture of up to 16 slot pairs at LaGuardia and 8 at Reagan to airlines with limited service or no service at those airports. You can read more detail, as well as lots of the smaller operational changes which would be enabled by the swaps, in the text version of this story, dated May 25th, at aero-news.net. ATA, the Air Transport Association of America, reports that passenger revenue rose 12% in April compared to the same month in 2010, marking the 16th consecutive month of revenue growth. The revenue data is based on a sample group of U.S. carriers. System-wide passenger traffic, as measured in miles flown by paying passengers, rose 3%, while the average price to fly 1 mile, also known as yield, rose 9% for the month. The first of 30 new Turkish-built F-16s was unveiled by Turkish Aerospace Industries and Lockheed Martin in ceremonies Monday at TAI's facility near Ankara. The F-16 program has provided extensive industrial development and employment in Turkey over the past 25 years. The Turkish Air Force has more than 200 F-16s in its inventory and will take delivery of the 30 new advanced Block 50 models between now and December of 2012. Up next on ANN, Airbus delivers a VIP A319 in China. Gulfstream International Airlines flight crew members have a new contract. And Maryland pilots line up to fly the Carbon Cub SS. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 26th. I'm Paul Plack. Gulfstream International Airlines flight crew members, represented by Teamsters Local 1224, say they've ratified a 5-year collective bargaining agreement with the company. Ballots were tallied on Friday, May 6th. The new contract will be in effect through May of 2016. Cecil Stewart, Local 1224's Gulfstream Executive Council Chairman, explained, quote, "Gulfstream's bankruptcy and reorganization has been a lot for our pilot group to digest over the last 6 months. With this successful chapter from Gulfstream's history behind us, we look forward to many years of growth and success for the benefit of all Gulfstream's flight crews," unquote. Joe Muckle, president of Local 1224, added, quote, "Contract negotiations are always about give and take. We were able to collectively find common ground on provisions which make this contract acceptable to the membership and Gulfstream International Airlines, as well as making it appealing to the airline's new owners, Victory Park Capital," unquote. Deerjet Company of Beijing, a VIP charter provider in the People's Republic of China, has taken delivery of its first Airbus corporate jetliner, an ACJ319, that it will dedicate to VIP charter flights to meet growing demand at the top end of the market. The new aircraft joins an Airbus A319 already being used by Deerjet to provide some charter flights and will be based in Beijing. Deerjet's new 319 features a cabin designed and installed by the Airbus Corporate Jet Center in Toulouse. The cabin includes a private office and bedroom with ensuite bathroom, including a shower, seats clustered around tables, and several rows of first-class seats. It is certificated to carry up to 28 passengers. Airbus says its corporate jets already have a strong presence in China, Hong Kong, and Macau, where they have already won 25 sales. NASA's twin Grail spacecraft were delivered to Kennedy Space Center in Florida May 20th. The two Lockheed Martin vehicles will undergo 4 months of final testing and processing in preparation for launch from Cape Canaveral in early September. The GRAIL acronym stands for Gravity Recovery and Interior Laboratory. The lunar orbiters will fly 30 miles above the surface of the moon in precise formation to determine the structure of the lunar interior from crust to core and to advance understanding of the thermal evolution of the moon. Cub Crafters has added Fleming Aviation of Gaithersburg, Maryland, as a certified sales center serving the Mid-Atlantic region. Tim and Pat Fleming founded the company last August and immediately positioned it as a strong proponent of light sport aircraft. The Flemings met with Cub Crafters General Manager Randy Lervold in Sebring in January and again at the Cub Crafters Dealer Summit in late February, where a dealer agreement was signed. Fleming Aviation has taken delivery of a Carbon Cub SS and plans to add a Sport Cub S2 for rental and training. Tim Fleming says of pilots in the region, quote, "They've all heard the buzz about the Carbon Cub SS and are eager to get in the cockpit," unquote. You can read more from a link on the main page of cubcrafters.com. And finally, a program note. I'll be taking a few days off this coming week following Memorial Day, and this long-form Aero briefing and the special feature will be on hiatus for a few days as well. While I'm away, ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell will produce our daily short-form touch-and-go podcast, so you'll still have something to listen to on your iPod on the way to work. This will be the first time since September of 2006 that I've left town without a mic and a laptop. My wife Cindy can't believe it's actually going to happen. We'll return to a normal AeroCast schedule on Monday, June 6th when I get back. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, from the Pilot Training Reform Symposium, John King of King Schools talks about three counterintuitive changes we could make in our culture to improve the general aviation safety record. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.